How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. So today we're talking about Gleyber Torres and DJ LeMahieu, what his impact will be once he returns from the injured list. He is traveling with the Yankees to Cleveland and Toronto over the next two series. But looking at Gleyber Torres, he's been a little bit off to start the season, to say the very least. You also look at guys like Anthony Rizzo. He's been a little bit off as well. And, you know, right now I kind of feel as though it was the right decision to move Gleyber from the leadoff spot, mainly not because of Gleyber. And this is what Aaron Boone said. They moved Gleyber down because of Gleyber. But I think it's because of Volpe. I think it was because Volpe's looking so good. You know, he's taking pitches. We were at the game on Wednesday. He walked twice. He had a hit, had a run. That's what you want to see from your leadoff man. He was an impact player. I think it was more about Volpe than it was about Gleyber, but that's just me. Everyone has their opinion on it. We'll talk about where Gleyber needs to improve, kind of what's going on with him right now. He's a very streaky hitter throughout his whole career. Yeah, last year was like actually an anomaly in terms of how consistent he was. He's normally polarizing. He's normally like really big cold stretch, then really big hot stretch, then really big cold stretch. Like that's kind of how he's been. And if you kind of combined really cold and really hot, you get an okay average, right? And that's kind of where he's been the last couple years, you know, barring last season where he was above average by a considerable amount. We still think that Gleyber's going to turn it around. Same with Aaron Judge. They're going to get hot, and they'll probably stay at a relatively high level. But, you know, what are your thoughts about Gleyber so far this season? He's taken the most pitches on the team. So he's done his job as the leadoff man at the very least. He's just missing some of these balls. He's just a little bit almost looking like he lacks confidence at times to me. You know, what have you seen, and why do you think that he might be able to turn things around over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think his swing is just off, right? And that's something that clicks like this. And Gleyber's always had a month in every year where he just looks bad, right? Like last year, I believe it was May or June, just kind of like a really rough stretch where he just didn't look competent at the plate after getting off a super hot start. If you guys remember, this time last year, Gleyber was on fire. Like he was, I mean, I remember that Philly series, you have that Giants series, and you're just like, what the hell's going on here? Is this the breakout year for Gleyber? You know, obviously had a really good year. It was his breakout year. He really did have an incredible season. He had a 3.8 F4, 123 WRC+. But you know, this year obviously hasn't gone off to that same start. It's interesting because defensively, he's actually looked a lot better. I think he looks pretty good at second base this year. And it's a little sad because it's like, all right, if he can get the bat going to where it was last year and play this kind of defense, he's going to get paid in the offseason. And look, I don't know, you know, from a Yankees perspective, you kind of hope he doesn't get paid and that he gets like a smaller contract from the Yankees because you'd be able to keep a quality player at a low cost. But from the perspective of like what's best for Gleyber, yeah, I hope he has a career year. I hope like whoever, you know, signs him gives him the bag because you want him to get the bag, right? Like from that player perspective. But I think he'll get it going at some point. Am I overly concerned? No. Does this mean that maybe he won't have like a 130 WRC+? Sure, right? Like a slow start definitely hurts your ability to you know, have big numbers because you're falling behind early. But I think the swing decisions have been fine. I don't think he's like overly whiffing. His whiff rate's actually down. Line drive rate's a little bit down. That might hurt him. His fly ball rate's up. He kind of looks like he's getting underneath everything. And I'm not saying he has like an uppercut swing. I mean, like he's just like missing. Like Verdugo has just been missing all year, but I feel like the swing decisions have been really good. I feel that same way with Gleyber. I think the swing decisions have been amazing and that the swing just hasn't been there early on. Now, do I think that Gleyber Torres, you know, that moving him down is going to help him? Yeah, actually, I think he'll have a little bit more of like a, hey, let me go out there and crush the baseball. Something that I've seen early with the Yankees is that they've kind of struggled to actually do damage on contact. Not to worry anybody. The Texas Rangers are like below us in terms of barrel rate, and you expect the Rangers to be a team that does damage. There are plenty of teams that, you know, have gotten off to slow starts in terms of doing damage on the baseball and have heated back up. I know I talked about it with the Astros a little bit, kind of comparing the offense they had to open last year with the offense the Yankees have to open up this year. But like this time last year, April 12th. I know that I'm kind of doing on the fly stat pulling here, but I think it's important to note just how small the sample size we have here because I just don't want people to get panicked. Like, I don't want people to think we haven't seen this kind of slump before, that this is unnatural, that this is what we try to like point out unnatural trends, things that shouldn't be happening, things that you're like, what is going on? Why is this happening? This isn't okay. Like this time last year, the Minnesota Twins, who ended up winning the division, 84 WRC+, did not do any damage on contact. The Texas Rangers had a 95 WRC+ at this point in time. We know the Texas Rangers went on to go on and win the World Series. mostly because of their offense, right? The Yankees had a 112 WRC plus. They were one of the better offenses in baseball. As we know, the Yankees did not end up being one of the better offenses in baseball. So I think it's just important to differentiate. Like, there are things to be excited about. There are things to be a little bit worried about from, you know, whenever you get off to a slow or hot start. But at the end of the day, it's just noise. And as the season goes on, we'll really be able to better identify what's real and what's just like a facade.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, when it comes to Gleyber Torres, this is a contract year. Like, he knows he has to perform to get that bag, and he will step up. He will get better. Just like we saw Stanton, suddenly it just bang, it clicked. He starts seeing the pitches, and the confidence is growing, and now he's, like, on fire, and he's carrying this offense at times for us, with Judge also struggling. But, you know, I'm not too worried about Gleyber Torres. I wouldn't say worried, but I'm a little bit more concerned about Anthony Rizzo, who I want to discuss next here. Rizzo is older, like, objectively, 34 years old, you know, has a 104 WRC plus, so he's okay, but he needs to do more damage, and that's ultimately kind of been the MO ever since that, the concussion symptoms and the diagnosis, and, you know, his season was ended, so he hasn't played ball in a long time. I'm gonna give him plenty of rope here and say, like, it is early, the sample size is small, like, he could heat up and be like, all right, there's the Rizzo we saw during the first half of last year. So I'm not really that concerned about either of these two guys, but if I were to say who I'm more concerned about, it would be Rizzo. I do think that right now his hard hit percentage is down to 31.6%. He hasn't barreled a ball just yet, at least from his metrics. On FanGraphs, I know maybe he had one the other day when we were there on Wednesday. It looked like he barreled one up, but they didn't list it. So, and, you know, some people say this, some people say that. You take it for what it is. And his average exit velocity is down to 86.2 miles per hour. Like, the power doesn't seem to be as much there anymore. I don't know. Maybe it's just him heating up, trying to make contact, play a different role for this team. But you do need to see more damage from him. The one thing that has concerned me is Rizzo's numbers with runners in scoring position are horrible. Like, they're not even worth saying. He's hitting below 100. I think it's 0.076, if I'm not mistaken. I wrote about it this morning. His clutch moment, his clutch factor is basically non-existent. And that's where you need him to be stepping up and making an impact with guys on base. If you're hitting 4 or you're hitting 5, you need to be hitting with guys on base. That is why you are hitting 4 or 5, especially with Soto, Stanton, and Judge ahead of you. With that being said, what do you think about Rizzo right now? Is age taking its toll? Is it just a small sample? Are you optimistic he can recover to what he looked like early last season? I still think he hasn't played in a long time. It's fair to give him a little bit of slack, but for now, he's definitely one I'm a little bit more concerned about than Gleyber Torres.
Oh, for sure. I mean, like, again, this is early. Anthony Rizzo got off to a super hot start last year, and then, of course, the concussion happens, and then he slows down, so early season disclaimer, early season alert, like a, you know, giant red flag of, hey guys, this doesn't actually matter that much yet. It'll matter in a few weeks or months, but, you know, the early returns for Rizzo obviously haven't been good. And, you know, the reason that you care more about that than Gleyber's is because he's coming off of a year where you had question marks. Gleyber's coming off of a good season. Rizzo's coming off a year where you're like, are you going to be back at any point? Like, what's going on here, right? And can the Yankees afford to have Rizzo, especially at the first base position, not hit and keep him on the team? That's another question. Like, the opt-out, or not the opt-out, excuse me, the club option that the Yankees can choose to enact or not, or they can buy out his contract. Like, relative, like, I know some people are already looking at first baseman to trade for, and the reactionary fan in me certainly is like, all right, Pete Alonso, come to New York. Oh, well, I guess he is in New York, but, like, hey, Pete Alonso, go cross the bridge, buddy. But, you know, I think that we have to, again, be able to discern what's just fan talk, what's just our innate, like, we are fans, we love the Yankees, we want what's best for the team, and we're just kind of in our heads, we're always spinning, we're looking at the deadline, we're just constantly thinking, right? Versus, like, okay, what makes sense from an organizational standpoint? If we ran a baseball team, how should we look at this? And you approach this from the standpoint of, it's April 12th. The same way, like, with Giancarlo Stanton's red hot start, you go, oh my god, this is great, but it's April 12th, right? Like, it's early. You have to wait. You have to be patient. You're setting yourself up for a lot of disappointment and being wrong when you start changing your opinions on April 12th. Now, do the Yankees look good? Yes. And does it make it a lot easier for us to want to look at small sample sizes because the Yankees are 10-3 and have the best record in baseball? Absolutely, right? Like, I would love to tell you, this is what they're going to do all year. They're going to win 10 out of every 13 games. They're going to be the best team in baseball. But I didn't go into the year ranking the Yankees as the top team in baseball. I went with the Braves or the Dodgers, right? Is that opinion going to change on April 12th? I mean, maybe you could argue the Strider injury changes things, but not by much, right? Like, it changes very marginally. Maybe you increase the Yankees' total win total by one or two games. That's what Fangraphs does. Like, they don't really change it drastically. The Yankees' win total that they projected went up by one game, I think. If at most, maybe two. But, like, it doesn't change dramatically because you'd be building a pretty poor model if you did that. Same thing for Rizzo. Are my expectations being met right now? No. Am I discouraged? Yes. Am I out? No. I'm out when we get a bigger sample size. I think that's kind of like the way to put this, or the way I look at this. I'm not out, but I do acknowledge the early signs are a bit concerning. As you mentioned, he hasn't barreled a single baseball. The Yankees haven't really barreled a lot of baseballs as a team. Again, I'm not super overly concerned because a team with Stanton, Judge, Soto, Glaber, they will start barreling the baseball. It's an inevitability. It will happen. Even Volpe, like last year, he got off to a pretty slow start with barreling the baseball. It turned around. Glaber got off to a slow start with barreling the baseball, turned it around. It's cold. That's another thing too. Like, we're going to go play in Cleveland tonight. Technically, I don't know if we're actually going to play tonight because of the weather, but we're going to play a series in Cleveland. It is cold in Cleveland. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, well, they're, be athletes, be men, handle the cold. Man, if you sit outside in like 40-degree weather and it's wispy and windy and you've been out there for like 3, 4, 5 hours, your nose gets a little runny, your hands, you can't even feel them anymore, man, that sucks, right? And sometimes playing in crappy weather and playing in weather that sucks makes you worse. It's incredible that the Yankees started hitting more barrels actually when they went back home and it was windy and cold in Toronto. That one game where, like, you look at Schmidt and Weaver and you're just like, they look like they're laboring. It looked like Clark Schmidt in that start against Toronto was pitching injured. Like, he was pacing around the mound. He's taking 20 seconds off the pitch clock to throw a pitch. Like, the weather's weird. I'll give it time with Rizzo. Just give it time. I'm not necessarily sure he'll turn it around, but give it time.
Yeah, I mean, look, we got plenty of time. 10-3, 13 games into the season. You couldn't ask for a better start, despite the fact we don't have Gerrit Cole, despite the fact we're missing four bullpen arms right now. Lou Trevino, Scott Efros, Johnny Lowe, who's not going to be coming back, obviously. And then, of course, you have Tommy Canley. So, you got a lot of guys missing, and not to mention Judge is struggling, not to mention Rizzo is struggling, and Glaber is struggling, and we don't have DJ LeMahieu back just yet. So it's interesting. This team is overperforming based on some of the metrics of our best players. But you want to know who's picking it up and picking up the slack? Juan Soto and Anthony freaking Volpe. Those two guys are, you could argue, I mean, aside from Nestor Cortes' phenomenal start, and, like, some really good pitching at times, Yankees have the fifth best ERA in the game and, one of the best ERAs in the starting rotation in the game as well. Those two guys have lifted our offense, lifted us off, and Stanton too, lifted our offense off of the freaking ground. That's ultimately what it takes sometimes. Two or three guys hitting really well at the same time, that can carry an offense, especially if they're as good as the ones that we have. When Judge starts to go, and Glaber starts to go, and Rizzo starts to go, and DJ gets back in the groove here, if these guys are clicking on all cylinders, there's not many teams that are going to be able to beat this Yankee team on a good day. You know what I mean? A good day for the Yankees, a Gerrit Cole on the mound, nobody's beating us. There's nobody beating us.
Yeah, and if I could interject for a second here, I apologize, but you mentioned like the game we went to. The Yankees gave Aaron Judge three chances to break the game open or win them the game. That's everything you wanted. That's exactly how this team was supposed to be built. And when it's August 1st, the Aaron Judge is sending a ball 475 feet into left field into a group of drunk, I mean, maybe not into the group, maybe over a group of drunk, happy Yankee fans that are going nuts and spilling beer all over the place. That's what this team is built to do, and I'm confident that's what this team will do. Maybe it won't be with Rizzo. Maybe it won't be with Stan. Maybe some guys will get hot that aren't hot right now. Maybe Glaber's going to be picking it up by then. But I feel confident in this group, and even if you look at the guys who are really struggling, it's nobody that has long-term consequences on you. I don't mean to like sound pessimistic here or anything like that, or like sound like I'm picking favorites. You kind of prefer Stanton playing better over Rizzo because one guy is a four-year commitment. The other guy you can buy out next year. It's not like if Rizzo's struggling, you're hurt long-term at first base. Ben Rice is right there, right? Same thing with Glaber, right? If he doesn't have a great year this year, you've got some infield prospects, Caleb Durbin, Jordan Vivas, you've got guys to kind of just like move things around. I'm really encouraged because the young guys and the guys on big contracts, they've been the guys that are performing. And I think that's the encouraging part so far.
Absolutely. I mean, look, that's what you want. Keep those price tags down and the young guys to step up. But guys, always happy to hear your thoughts below in the YouTube comment section. Make sure to like and subscribe as always. And we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode.
Baker.